up this water up here.
Well, hey, everybody, what you think about it? What you think about it is my popular comedy catchphrase, I say.
We'll move on, I guess.
You know, I used to have a different catchphrase, but another comedian stole it from me, worked it into his own bit. Have y'all heard of this Bill Engvall guy with the Blue Collar Comedy Tour? Well, Bill Engvall, he has a bit that, again, he stole from me called Here's Your Sign. And what happens is, Bill Engvall, he encounters stupid people in his life, and he has a series of signs he's made. And when they say something stupid, the sign says, yeah, you're an idiot or something like that. And he gives them the sign. Here's your sign. Well, he fucking stole that from me. He changed the wording, but that was originally my bit. So tonight, I'd like to do the original bit with Bill Engvall. I'm going to libel him again, slander him. Bill Engvall stole from me. All right, I'm going to do that now. So the other day, I went to church, and they're passing around the old collection plate. And the lady next to me says, Jonathan, do you have anything to contribute to the church? Contribute, I said. I just raided the food pantry. Go fuck yourself. So the other day, a Girl Scout shows up to my front door and says, you want to buy some cookies? I said, hey, honey, I get my fill of shitty cookies when I sell my blood plasma once a week. Go fuck yourself. So the other day, I'm sitting outside of Biscuitville, and I see this guy walking up, and I ask him for a dollar so as I can buy a biscuit. He says, a dollar? Go fuck yourself. I said, go fuck myself. Go fuck yourself. How's the go fuck yourself bit? So I started working on a new comedy album. It's a Christian comedy album. It's called Holy Christ, but it's spelled like W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's a joke that works better on the page, I guess. So anyway, my manager doesn't like the album. He said to me the other day, you know, Jonathan, the problem with this album is that it's a sham. You don't have any religious convictions. Are you kidding? I did 3 years for stabbing a priest. He knows what it was for. So speaking of religion, I went to church the other day, and they were talking about this God guy. Have you heard about this guy? This God guy?
He was cool back in the day.
Yeah. I tell you, it sounds to me a big angry man who lives upstairs and doesn't like it when you masturbate sounds more like my father.
Your wife.
I make some noise, you know. Well, I don't know if any of you guys can relate to this, but it's really hard growing up in the shadow of famous parents. And I tell you, it seems like everywhere I go, it isn't, hey, there's popular stand-up comic Jonathan Van Buren. It's, hey, isn't that the guy whose dad strangled all those hookers? Guilty as charged, I say, and of course so was he. Boy, I tell you, the old man and me, we've never seen eye to eye. Never. I remember one time I got so steamed at Pops. Old Pops there. I just gotten home from school, and I went up to my room, and my bed was gone. I asked him, what's the matter? Where's my bed? He says, Jonathan, you know, times have been pretty hard lately, and I had to sell your bed to cover my gambling debts. From now on, you'll be sleeping with your brother. My brother? I said, that guy's disgusting. I don't want to share a bed with him. He says, no, you misunderstand. You won't be sharing a bed with him. You'll be sleeping with him so I can film it and sell the footage to the boys in the show. What you think about it? I didn't think much of it, but shit, I was five. I'm trying to do right by my son, though. He's a sweet kid. I'm trying to do right by him. His name is Billy or Barty, something with a B. I see him two times a year. It's hard to remember. But he's a good kid. And a couple weeks back, he was real upset, you know, because his pet turtle, Shelley Levine, had died. He said, son, it's okay. He says, but Dad, why would God take Shelley from me? Shelley never hurt anybody. I said, well, son, because God is dead and your whore mother killed him. What you think about? tell you, though, I remember when I was his age. Best time of my life. Best time of my life. Believe it or not, when I was in school, I dated the same girl from first grade all the way through senior year of high school. Her name was Mary Phelps. Well, she was something, let me tell you. And one of the saddest days of my life was graduation day. She took me aside and said, "Jonathan, we need to talk." I get tired of hearing that, you know. Anyway, she said, "Jonathan, we need to talk. Graduation time is upon us. We got to go our separate ways. I'm breaking up with you. But you know, you've taught me a lot. You've taught me how to smile, how to laugh. You've taught me how to love." I said, "Well, Miss Phelps, I guess that makes us even, since you taught me social studies." Boy, the dating scene is rough, isn't it? Boy, I tell you, I couldn't get laid stepping off a plane in Hawaii. I went on a date with a beautiful girl, but it ended just terribly. As soon as we got to my apartment, she started mocking the place, making fun of all my cool stuff, you know, my Ghostbuster sheets, my Betamax player, my autographed picture of Louis Anderson, all my cool shit. I said to her, "Listen, honey, I may take this kind of abuse every other waking moment of my life, but when I invite a special lady over to my apartment, I expect a little bit of dignity, a little bit of decorum, and if you can't understand that, well, just take your $50 and leave." I tell you though, I do get lucky sometimes. I do get lucky sometimes. I was dating this one girl. I had her over to my apartment one night. We split a bottle of Thunderbird, and the next thing I know, we're making whoopee on my beanbag chair. Well, it was going pretty good. We were both really putting our weight on it when all of a sudden, right in the middle of the act, I lets out a little burp. And she just sort of smiled coquettishly, and she said, "Well, you know, Jonathan, now I know why they jostle babies to make them burp." I said, "Yeah, because you can't fuck them." Look at the chair. Oh, I tell you, it's tough out there. Have you ever been burned by false advertising? I went to the barber shop the other day, and I sit down in the chair there, and the guy starts cutting my hair. I said, "Hey, buddy, what's the big deal? Where are all the girls?" He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "The sign on the front door said, trim $5. It's usually much more expensive than that. I tell you, people get upset all the time, though. People get upset by my routine, you know. I'm going to tell you, this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I got to say it. I got to say it. I think gay people are a little weird. I do. I think that's a little weird, gay people. Now, I know you think that I'm an old fuddy-duddy or saying, "Jonathan, any day now a gay man will be able to get a driver's license." Well, I don't know about that. All right, slow down there, Tex. You know, I just want to play a little imagination game with you, show you my point of view here. Now, if you're a straight guy, imagine that you're going over to another man's boudoir. You walk in, he's standing there all naked like. He's got some candles burning on the coffee table, got a couple of flutes of champagne, and you walk up to him. And you take his penis and you put it in your mouth for free. That's just weird, man. That last part is what kills him. Oh, these jokes get me in trouble sometimes, you know. I'll tell you this one because you seem hip. You're a good crowd. You seem real hip. Yeah, I got chewed out something fierce a few weeks back. I was doing a set at a comedy club in New York. They got a very cosmopolitan vibe, very classy. So I'm doing a rape joke. And one lady in the audience got real upset with me. She got real upset. After the show, she said to me, "Listen, Jonathan, you can't joke about that sort of thing, because if you're in a big enough venue, dollars to donuts, there's a good chance someone in the room has been a victim of rape." I said, "Well, honey, as long as I'm in the room, I don't guess we got a problem." I miss my grandpa sometimes. He was a smart guy, you know, a real sharp guy. He always had that wisdom that the old timers have. And I remember once when I was a little kid, he was eating a hollowed out potato full of dead bees. Ask him, Peepaw Packet, let me ask you a question. What's up with a potato full of dead bees? He set me down on his knee, and what he said to me, I'm going to tell you what he said to me. He said, boy, this world is full of carpetbaggers, finaglers, and moon crickets, and only a tater man got eyes to root them out. Well, I didn't understand what that meant at the time, but you know what? 2 weeks later, he shot a guy at the post office. Yeah, it's a confusing world. It's a real confusing world. For example, you ever call one of those support numbers? I'm not racist, but I can't understand a fucking thing those goddamn foreigners say. You know? Who's with me? Someone? Anyone? All right. I called one up the other day, ran up my long distance bill, and I couldn't understand anything the lady was saying. It was all just gobbledygook. I said, listen, lady, we've been on the phone 10 minutes here. I can't understand you. You better start speaking English. She said, look, mister, are you going to have this orgasm or not? Oh, times are tough. Times are tough, I tell you. Oh, I'm so broke and hungry. The other night I had a dream I was eating a ham sandwich. I woke up with a hard-on. I'm severely malnourished. So I've got a new day job. I make coffins at a local funeral home. It's where I got this jacket. They split it up in the back. It's easier to work it onto a corpse. So I make coffins. That was an $8 joke. I hope you appreciate it. I'm building this one coffin. And this one nail was giving me a hard time. I just couldn't drive the little bugger. You know, I'm hammering all around it. Just can't get it. Boss man comes up behind me. He says, Van Buren, you stinking alcoholic, you're drunk on the job. Drunk on the job, I said, boss man, I'm so dedicated to this job that I come to work with a delirium tremens, and you accuse me of being drunk. Well, why don't you get out of my face and take President Lyndon Baines Johnson with you, boss? He's really been on my case lately. He says that I'm inefficient, need to learn how to multitask. Well, it's hogwash, I tell you. The other day, I simultaneously wept and masturbated. Let's shift gears a little bit. Who here likes impressions? You don't like impressions? Did you ever wonder what it might sound like if Jack Nicholson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Carol Channing had starred in the Twilight movies? I bet it would have sounded pretty funny. I don't do impressions myself. Yeah, that would be a pretty comical situation. It's absurd. Like, what are they all? They have very distinctive voices. What would they all be doing in the Twilight movie? What you think about it, huh? So I'm starting to get pretty popular in the Hollywood comedy circles. And it seems like every day I'm at a different party rubbing elbows with some high-powered celebrity. So the other night, I'm at a pretty swinging shindig. And the owner of the house comes up to me. Now, I don't want to name drop, but suffice it to say, he's the biggest name in comedy today. So I'm at the party there, and he comes up to me, and I say, hey, Andrew Dice Clay, what's up? And he says, look, I don't know who you are or how you got into my house, but someone took a shit in the bidet, and I'm guessing it was you. I know how to handle these Hollywood big shots. So I said, hey man, I'm sorry I'm not hip to all your fancy French terms, but back at Chateau Van Buren, we call it the broom closet. I shit in Andrew Dice Clay's broom closet. So a while back, I'll leave you with one last one, folks. You've been beautiful. I appreciate you. A while back, I did a show at an Indian casino. Have you ever seen these things, these Indian casinos? They're sweet. I tell you, the Indians catch all the breaks, you know. So after the show, I'm sitting at the bar, I'm drinking my fire water there, and this old-timer comes up to me. He introduces himself as Two Bears Standing Tall. I said, man, That's a pretty cool name there, buddy. I've always wanted one of those neat Indian names. He said, well, you just come back any time, dead man who cries. Thank you very much.